the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So earlier this year, we had the debate about allowing cabins to be built in back gardens as a way of dealing with our housing crisis. The latest idea that's come forward from the Department of Housing is allowing older people to split their homes into two flats. The idea, it seems, is that maybe people don't want to move out of their own home, can't afford to find somewhere else to go to. So if they're not using all of the space, they could change the house into two. In a moment, we'll hear from Conor Sheehan, who is the Labour Party's housing spokesperson. First, Sean O'Neill McPartland, Director of Housing Policy for the think tank Progress Ireland. What do you make of this idea?
Thanks, Matt. I think it's a good idea. I think it solves multiple problems at once. If you give me a moment, I'll kind of run through them really quickly. Like, one is, you kind of mentioned, we need to build homes in existing areas. That's where people want to live. It's where they grew up. It's where their networks are. Crucially, it's where the jobs are. You know, after I left, after I left Dublin, I moved to Meath and then Portlaoise. And with each move, you know, these housing estates full of people with Dublin accents in the Midlands, because people can't move within the areas that they grew up, because we don't have the ability to build things within existing neighbourhoods. So this policy would allow us to do that. And the other thing is, there's very few policies that allow, you know, many groups the benefit of once. So in this case, the homeowner, say an older person who's struggling to, you know, maybe they're beginning to struggle with their mobility and the stairs, for instance. Maybe they're struggling with bills. So this gives that homeowner the option to subdivide their home into two flats within the existing kind of regulations, perhaps generate a little bit more extra income. So it benefits them, but it also benefits the kind of young and mobile people, maybe a student or a young professional who wants to move into the area, perhaps who already live in the area. So there's rare cases where you get these win-wins. So I think this policy, although it might have a small impact, it's not going to change the entire housing system. I think it's a step in the right direction.
Is it not easier said than done, though, that the conversion of a house into two apartments is a pretty difficult job, and that you're going to have to maybe install a new kitchen, either upstairs or downstairs, new toilets perhaps, different heating systems, that it's not just simply an issue of closing off the upstairs to the people downstairs and maybe putting a new stairs in?
I think you're right. It's not going to be for everyone. It's not going to be for every individual homeowner or every individual house. Some are going to be more difficult than others. But we have models from other countries where this has kind of been delivered at scale over a number of years. So it's not technically hugely difficult. But as you rightly said, it's not going to be overnight that you just kind of slap up a door on the stairs and you have two homes. These will have to be high quality. They'll have to conform with the existing regulations on fire and so on, and they'll have to have their own facilities, as you said, kitchens. So it's not going to be click our fingers and these things will pop up overnight. But I do think creating an avenue by which homes can kind of slowly densify and get more smaller units that suits the demographics of the area, I think it's good to create that pathway. Doing it in the back garden, doing it subdividing the house, neither are perfectly easy, but I think both are good ideas.
Conor Sheehan of the Labour Party, what do you think?
Well, look, Matt, I think that basically without a specific plan around, say, access to grants or funding, that this amounts to more tinkering by government. Because we know, for example, I know Ava Housing have done a pilot of this in Beaumont and in Clondalkin, and it costs between 65 and 95,000 euro to actually do this. And we know that older people have issues there with age-related lending caps, and there is a lack of suitable loans for bridging and for renovations. And I've looked at, for example, they have done this in the UK to some degree, and the data suggests that very few new homes are actually created through subdivision. I mean, I had to scan through figures before coming on this afternoon, and I saw in 1 year in the UK, for a country the size of the UK, it was somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 per year, which only amounted to 3-4% of new net dwellings. And you see, there's no incentive framework in this country to encourage people to do this. We know that, say, for example, our property tax is quite low by international standards, and there's nothing there that really penalises inefficient use of space. I'm slightly concerned as well that there's a rhetoric sort of creeping in with older people that we should just move them to smaller houses, or that we should move them to a portion of their house and divide out the rest. Like, I think this may work for some people, and I welcome the ability for people to do this. But I think substantially, you know, for the minister to lead out with this the weekend he launched the housing plan, you know, it seems to me that there's a tendency to try and distract with this sort of stuff. And we know that older people are not going to be able to pick up the mess that government have made of housing.
See, Conor, there's been a lot of people have focused in recent years on single people, maybe widows or widowers, once their children have left, living on their own in 3 or 4 bedroom homes, and saying that this is an inefficient use of space. The problem for many of those people is that they don't want to move out of the area in which they live, and they can't find somewhere else to go to. If they were to sell, they have very little suitable accommodation to go to. So could this actually be a useful way for them to stay where they're living, in a more sizable accommodation, or more appropriately sized accommodation, and also potentially give them an additional income flow?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that's why in the housing plan we needed specific targets for additional cost rental and affordable purchase homes year on year. But this might be an option for a small number of people, but there needs to be a system put in place where there is almost like a one-stop shop, so people can avail of, say, they know where to go in terms of the grants, the building work, and, you know, help selecting a rental tenant. And actually, in fairness to them, Ava Housing have done fantastic work. But I can't see this making a huge material difference, because I think most average older people will look at this. I'm thinking of, you know, my own grandfather is in his 80s, and, you know, sort of floating around a house, if that makes sense. And I can't see him looking at a scheme like this and thinking, well, if I put all this money in to divide the house or whatever, I'll be 6 feet under before I see any of it back, if that makes sense.
Annette in Cork says, my husband is trying to convert a 6-bed building into 2 apartments. He has been quoted €300,000. It would be cheaper to buy another property in a rural town. Again, Sean O'Neill McPartlin, the idea might work for some people, but isn't it the nature of these things that the price always goes up when people go to do something like this in dividing a house? And also, how big would the house need to be in the first place to actually have 2 apartments big enough to live in?
I think all of what Connor said sounds right to me. Like, this won't be for everyone. And as you say, once, you know, these regulations get rolled out, of course the price will go up, because the industries and the businesses that kind of surround doing this sort of thing don't really exist right now, because there's not the right kind of regulations in place. For instance, the granny flat thing. I imagine when the regulation gets introduced next year to allow for detached accommodation in the back garden, the price will go up, because there isn't a business around these things. But kind of businesses invest more in their capacity when the opportunity to do the thing goes. So in the long term, I'm pretty optimistic about it. But as you rightly say, it will not suit every single house. But I think part of what I welcome in this plan is that the solution isn't going to be one big splashy idea. It's going to be the accumulation of all these small ideas, that we get those large homes where people want to do it, as Connor said, where people are kind of willing to do it. They can subdivide it where people want to build in the back garden. People can do it. We build the apartments as well, and so on and so on. And all these things kind of accumulate together. So I think that's the part I welcome. It's leveraging the big houses in the suburbs where locals and individuals want to do it. It's leveraging the back gardens. It's leveraging the big greenfield sites, the capacity of the LDA, and so on. I don't need to tell you the rest.
Another listener says, in London, there are about 1.5 million converted homes into subdivisions. No old person is going to build a new house. It's all about converting older houses. Conor Sheehan, something else I want to ask you about today. I know one of your local councillors in Dublin is part of an action been taken, a High Court challenge against the proposed changes to minimum apartment sizes. I believe there was a significant development in that case today. Can you tell us about that?
Well, look, the first thing I would say is that our councillor, Dara Moriarty, along with the Green Party councillor and the environmentalist, Frank MacDonald, took this judicial review on a number of significant grounds. And it has emerged today that government have ceded on a significant one of these grounds. And I think that's particularly significant because there was no consultation done before these apartment changes were rammed through in the summer. And it seems to me like, you know, that government have completely botched this because, first of all, they had no mandate for it. It wasn't in any of their manifestos. And second of all, it was rammed through the Oireachtas at the 11th hour. We barely had a chance to consider it properly. And it's something that I believe they really need to go back to the drawing board on.
Can you tell us what grounds in which this judicial review by the four complainants succeeded?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it succeeded on the grounds around the fact that this actually wasn't adequately, there was no adequate consultation in relation to this, as far as I'm aware.
Has it anything to do with environmental assessments being carried out?
And there are issues there. We have obligations in relation to the Aarhus Convention. We're required under European law to be party to those obligations. And it's very clear that with the rushed way that this was done, that maybe those grounds were not adequately considered.
Okay, I see a report in the Business Post on this by Killian Woods says that the Housing Minister, James Brown, proposes to take what's called a pragmatic approach by developing new planning rules to replace the recently introduced apartment guidelines because of the legal challenge. In a letter to plaintiffs who took the case against the apartment design changes, the Chief State Solicitor, Maria Brown, said the state would continue fully to defend the judicial review of new guidelines for apartments issued in July. Okay, so we'll see how that one actually develops. Thank you very much, Conor Sheehan of the Labour Party and Sean O'Neill MacPartlin from the think tank Progress Ireland.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.